Forte Foundation is a collaboration
between leading companies
and top business schools to launch women into fulfilling,
significant careers
through access to business education,
opportunities,
and a community of successful women.
Our goal is to connect you
to the right people
and give you access to the tools you need
to have the successful business career
you deserve.
Welcome back to the Forte Foundation podcast. Every episode, we bring you personal stories and career insights from successful businesswomen representing diverse industries and career stages. If you're unfamiliar with Forte and what we do, please go to fortefoundation.org right now and see what we can do for you. Today, we'll be hearing from Lindsay Pollack, one of our favorite speakers. Lindsay is a New York Times bestselling author for her book, Becoming the Boss, New Rules for the Next Generation of Leaders. In this webinar, Lindsay begins with her top tips for launching a good career. Her first tip is to never stand still.
The biggest mistake at any point in your career is doing nothing. Everything is related to action. Even if you're making huge mistakes, even if you're headed in the wrong direction, whatever it is, I think that stagnating and not making calls and staying under the covers and getting really bummed out is never going to serve you well in your career. So whenever you hit the doldrums, whenever you aren't sure what to do next, just take a step forward in any way that you can. So my tip here is to do one thing every day on behalf of your career forever. And every tip that I give you tonight is going to relate to all of the actions that you can take. And a special tip here is to have a career notebook, whether it's a file on your computer, a spiral notebook, a box or a drawer where you keep everything. When you're managing your career, you want to make sure that you're keeping track of everything you're doing. So just if you have a database of contacts that you keep in touch with, you want to be tracking what it is that you're doing in your career. I happen to do this in a notebook. I have a notebook every year that reminds me what actions I was taking all the time, and I can go back and look up names and phone numbers and things that have happened. Other people choose different methods, but I'm always surprised that people come to these workshops and they really say one of their biggest takeaways was just to make the move to start a career notebook, and that's the first step towards keeping your career on track. So avoid the biggest mistake, which is doing nothing, and really commit to doing one thing every day on behalf of your career, and that is particularly important if you're in the middle of a job search. Do something every day. Tip number two, be perpetually prepared. And there are two tips on here that I want to dig into. Number one, I'm a big fan of having personal business cards, and a lot of people resist this. I just saw a blog post today where somebody said, I feel weird having a business card if I don't have a job or if I don't have a title. And as I travel around the country at different colleges through Forte and other organizations, I'm really seeing a lot of students having business cards. And I gave you two resources here for printing your own cards. VistaPrint.com is a free resource on the web, or I think you can pay $5 or $6 to have cards made that don't have the VistaPrint logo. They're free if you allow the VistaPrint logo. I actually made my own cards on DesignYourOwnCard.com, and all I have on my business cards is my name, my phone number, an email address, and my website. So you don't need a title or a company to have a business card, but you want to be prepared at any moment if you run into somebody or you want to make a networking connection or you meet somebody who might even have a job opportunity available. You want to have this tool of the business world. If you're currently working in a position and you want to do something else, it's really smart to have a business card that's just your calling card so that you're not still associated with your former business. Really important if you're a career changer, especially, that you want to make that break from your old job and have something that just represents you. When it comes to the second tip on here, I call it fake it till you make it. Some people call it acting as if, and I think you've all probably heard the advice to dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have. As you think about whatever career it is that you want to go into, whether it's getting into business school, working in a corporation, switching into a more artistic, creative career, starting your own business, I want you to start acting like you're already in that position. So wearing the clothes that people wear in that industry or in that world, thinking about something like an email address. If you want to work in corporate America, your personal email address should really mirror what a corporate email address looks like. So any of you have heard me before, I make fun of a lot of people's silly email addresses. And for instance, I knew somebody who was a lawyer, and her email address was legaldiva@AOL.com. And I thought, well, that's kind of cute, but not if you want to go work at a really big white shoe law firm in Manhattan, because they use email addresses like lindsay.pollack@skadden.com. So those cutesy email addresses are something that you want to get rid of immediately. I would also recommend getting rid of AOL. If there's anyone on the phone who's on AOL, I think that's really an old school, less technical email address. And I know that recruiters have told me when they see an AOL account, it really feels like a home address, and you want to be projecting a professional image. So if you're going to choose from the freebies, I would definitely choose Gmail. But if you're starting your own business, or if you want to be a freelance writer, or a freelance designer, a consultant, or career coach, I would really recommend buying your domain name. So alyssasangster.com, orlandobloom.com, whatever it is, that really professionalizes you in a way that looks like you're already a business or a freelancer, even before you might make that leap. When it comes to faking it till you make it, one way to do that is really by giving yourself the information that other people in your field have. So reading the essential publications that people in your industry read, joining the organizations, professional associations, and clubs that other people in your field join. When I started my own business after working full-time, I started to hang out with entrepreneurial people and just watch them and saw how they interacted, saw what they did, saw what they wore, saw what their business cards looked like, observe their websites. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but be prepared by observing what other people are doing and starting to act that way yourself at any stage of your career. Again, really important if you're coming out of college, really important if you're career changing or starting a business. So be perpetually prepared so that at any moment, if the opportunity walked in the door, you'd be ready to go. Tip number three, empower yourself with information. This is sort of an addendum to the last tip. This is about all of the things that you can do to stand out in a job interview, an application, or a resume to show that you really know your stuff. It's very, very hard to stand out if you come from a really good college, you know, in a bad economy, if you've been laid off from a big company and a lot of people from your industry are entering the workforce. So there are a lot of things that you can do to prepare. And something that I always say is that you can't always differentiate yourself by your past and by what you've already done, but you can stand out by showing how much you've learned about the industry or the company that you want to go into. So what are some ways to do that? Here I've got to set up Google Alerts at google.com/alerts. I have many, many alerts that come to me every day to make sure that I keep up on the information in my field, which is career advice. So I have alerts set for young professional career advice, tips for job seekers. I have all these little phrases that I've come to research, and then I know that even if I didn't read every single newspaper in the country today, which I never would do, of course, I know that any article that would be relevant to my career is coming to me. A lot of people, if they're in sales, will set up these alerts for their clients. You can set it up for your own name in case somebody's writing about you. You can set it up for your favorite celebrity, anything you want, but really have this information coming directly to you. A quick rule of thumb on empowering yourself with information if you're actually about to go on a job interview. I have four tips here, and I don't have this on the slide, but I'm very happy to be in touch with anyone after this call and provide more information. The rule of thumb for what to research before you go on a job interview. Number one, research the industry of the organization that you want to go into. Understand the industry and what they do and whether they're having a good situation right now or whether things are not going well. Number two, research that particular company, and you can do this all on the website. Number three, research the competition. Two reasons for that. One is to know what else is out there and what kind of competition that organization faces. And the other reason, of course, is that you might want to get a job with the competition. So know what other organizations are doing, what that company is doing. And number four, research the actual job function that you're applying to. Really important in conversations at recruiting fairs, networking events, you want to know what they call the position. So is it an associate? Is it an analyst? Is it a marketing manager, a marketing coordinator? Make sure that you're speaking the language of the people you want to work with so that you feel like an insider even before you get started. What I'm really talking about here is credibility. You want to feel when you walk into a situation that you're prepared. And what happens is if you're not prepared, people automatically count you out because you're not speaking the same language. So set up those Google News alerts, subscribe to those essential publications, and in addition to that, start talking to people in the industry that you want to join. Talk to the people who have gone to or currently go to the graduate programs that you want to be in. Surround yourself and make sure you're feeding yourself with as much information as you can. You don't have to do this all alone, so let all of the information come to you. Tip number four, clean up your online image. I've sort of brought you onto the internet at this point, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly to make sure that we get here. It's really up to you to actively manage your online image. I think in this day and age, you have your professional presence and the impression that you make when you meet somebody face-to-face or on the telephone, and just as important today is the image that you make when somebody types your name into a search engine. And we all know Google is probably the most likely one that people are going to look for you. So make sure, if you haven't already, go ahead and Google yourself. And there's a great blogger who I love named Seth Godin, G-O-D-I-N. Some of you may read Seth Godin's blog. It's just his name. And his very first blog post on January 1st of this year, the advice was to Google yourself. Before you pass go, before you get over your hangover from New Year's Eve, Google yourself and see what's out there because you have to manage that image of yourself online. So check out what's up there. And after that, notice whether you're making a positive impression or a not so positive impression. And one of the places that you really have to be wary of is, of course, Facebook. I am a huge fan of Facebook, and I'll talk about all the positive sides. But I think it's really important to always be aware that employers, graduate school admissions officers, investors, scholarship program committee members, they're all checking candidates out on Facebook. And I know that people have privacy settings, but just be aware that sometimes people can get through to your profile. And I'm guilty of this myself. I've served on scholarship committees, I've networked with people, and I've checked them out on Facebook. And if I see things on there that are kind of icky, it definitely shades my impression of them. So just be wary of any red flags on your Facebook page. So for instance, really sexy photos, drinking or drugs, belonging to any groups that might be considered offensive to somebody, lots of profanity, anything that would just stand out as being not appropriate for a corporate or a graduate program situation. My rule of thumb, as I like to tell people, is make sure your Facebook page has a PG rating. You don't have to say that Bambi is your favorite movie, anything like that. Just be careful and make sure that everything is okay. And on the positive side, I love Facebook. I'm on there. I invite you all to ping me or friend me or anything you'd like to do to connect. But I think it's terrific for reaching out to people in a networking sense, either personally or professionally, and we'll talk about networking in a few minutes. I think it's great for the groups that you can start so you can mass email people in a way. Forte has a great group that I encourage you all to join. And I think Facebook adds that element of fun. There are definitely some people who I wasn't necessarily that close to, but by linking to each other on Facebook, I was really able to build a deeper relationship with some people. And you'll find that if older people, maybe baby boomer generation, are on Facebook, they're probably on there because they want to reach out to younger generation. So I would certainly encourage everyone to make relationships on Facebook across generations. I think it's really helpful. So those are some tips on cleaning up your online image and also some ways to use Facebook in a positive way. So let's talk about the next level of professional networking online, which is LinkedIn, which I'm a huge fan of, which is really the professional version of Facebook is one way to think about it. LinkedIn has really been growing in the past couple of years. I was just interviewed for an article about LinkedIn, and they were talking about it because it's really soared and taken over as the premier professional network online. There used to be a lot, and LinkedIn has taken over. So think about LinkedIn, if you haven't seen it, again, as a professional version of Facebook with about as much information as you'd like, lots of keywords. You get a little postage stamp size photograph, none of the playful elements of Facebook. But LinkedIn is a great place to network, particularly as a student, because there aren't that many students and young people on there, so you can really make a positive impression. When I get a job listing from people in my network, I really think about whether I'm going to place it on Facebook or on LinkedIn. If I have an event where I'm speaking, I think about where it would be most appropriate, and I certainly put the more high-end, high-level information on LinkedIn because I make that judgment call about the people who've chosen to join LinkedIn and network in that professional way. I think there's really going to be a trend in the career world that rather than having paper resumes, we're going to have online resumes, and I think LinkedIn is the first step towards that online profile where you can build it out and people can find you. Another advantage of LinkedIn is that you have people who are actively job hunting right alongside people who run their own businesses, alongside admissions officers, alongside people who are very happily employed. So it's a nice place to do networking in a variety of ways. Terrific if you're shy. Terrific if you've lost touch with people. You can link to them on LinkedIn. So a couple of tips here on making the most of the site if you choose to join it. Number one, fill out your profile. You really get the most of LinkedIn if you put in the most. So fill out everything. Fill out any company you've worked for, any school that you've gone to, because that then automatically links you to other people who have been in that school or in that company. So a lot of big corporations now have thousands and thousands of people on LinkedIn, and that's a way to have a warm lead towards talking to somebody. Sending personalized invites. Just like on Facebook, if I wanted to link to Alyssa, I would send her an email, and I have the choice of sending her a generic, "Hi, I'd like to link to you," or personalizing it. And I really encourage everyone to personalize those invites. Remind somebody where you met them, or tell them that you liked their profile or saw something on it that appealed to you. You'd be much more likely to have people accept your connection if you personalize that invitation. Add a headshot. People love to see smiling faces. If you've got a young, excited face, if you've got a really nice professional headshot, I think that's going to help you in the process. If you're not comfortable with that, it's certainly not required, but I do think just like on dating sites, you're more likely to get some hits if people can see your face, and maybe that'll jog their memory how they've met you in the past if you're reconnecting with somebody. Joining groups is similar to Facebook. You're going to get lots more information from people. You'll be included on more networking opportunities, and more people will find you if your profile shows up as a group member. And this is a great place to explore groups if you're a career changer. So if you're working in accounting and you'd like to go into the film industry, you can sort of join groups in the film industry without any obligation, or even if you don't have any experience in that area, you can start to play in that sandbox simply by joining those groups on LinkedIn. And finally, a trend that I've noticed is that people are including a link to their LinkedIn profile on their blogs and in the signature lines of their email. So if you'd like to build more connections on LinkedIn, you can show that by including it in your signature line. And I think for students and younger professionals or those returning to the workplace, having a LinkedIn URL, your LinkedIn address in your profile is a way to show that you are eager to network professionally. So I really encourage everyone to join LinkedIn, and again, I'm happy to connect, and I know that a lot of the Forte team is on there as well. But make sure you personalize that invite and remind us all how you met us. So we're halfway through the tips tonight, and again, we're going to take questions at the end. Tip number six is part of this thinking that I mentioned at the beginning about being the CEO of your own career. You need to actively seek out ways to promote yourself, be your own advocate, spread the word about who you are as part of building your career presence, no matter what you want to do. And I think the way to think about this is that networking is not just about who you know, it's about who knows you. So promoting your expertise, promoting who you are is really important, and you can do this in really subtle, comfortable ways for people to think about. Number one, review books on Amazon.com. This is a way to show that you are active in your industry, that you're active on the web. If you read books about marketing because you want to go into the marketing field, if you want to be a writer and you review novels, any way to put your opinions out there. People are always impressed by people who submit letters to the editor or write op-ed pieces, and this is a way for people to see you online in a positive way. I know a woman who wanted to show that she was ready for a sales career even though she was very young, and she reviewed lots of sales books on Amazon.com, and during her interview with pharmaceutical companies, she was able to have the interviewer go online and see her book reviews, and that led to a really great engaging conversation about sales and their favorite sales books, and that led her to get the job. So review books on Amazon.com. That's a great way to be found on Google and to promote your expertise. Just be sure that you review them under your real name and not a nickname. Second, comment and post on blogs. I've been writing a blog for about 6 months, and what I've found is that people who you might think are very difficult to reach, high-level senior corporate people, entrepreneurs, media people, a lot of them will interact with you and provide a lot of feedback and interaction through their blogs. So again, with the letters to the editor concept, you can, of course, write your own blog, but asking to be a guest poster, and I certainly use students to guest post all the time on my blog, or commenting on your favorite blogs, and you will get blog articles if you set up those Google News alerts, so you won't have to go out and search for them. They'll come right to your inbox. But posting on there and using your real name and putting your title or contact information or something about you, if you're comfortable, is a really nice way, again, to promote your expertise, promote groups that you care about, and interact with people in a unique way, and particularly people you might not be able to reach out to otherwise. So someone like Seth Godin, the blogger that I was mentioning, I have a better chance of having a dialogue with Seth on his blog than by trying to call him out of the blue or trying to send him an email asking for advice. If I engage on his blog, he's more likely to want to talk to me in that forum. And finally, promote yourself as a panelist. I've coordinated a lot of events in my past working for associations. I speak at a lot of student conferences. There are so many events every day, from Rotary clubs to community organizations to colleges, high schools, chambers of commerce. If you'd like to be seen in your community, which is a great way for people to meet you and like you and perhaps offer you a job at some point, be on panels, whether it's about alumni from your college. They're always looking for people to talk about post-college experiences, to talk about a hobby that you have, an area of expertise. Anything and everything is really a great way to show yourself in the community. Great if you move to a new place. Great if you are new to a college or university environment, if you've just started a business. And then when you're at those events, rather than just being an attendee, which is great, you can also be a speaker and network in that community. And if anyone has questions about that, I would love to talk. A great way to get started in speaking is to network with other speakers and panelists and tell them that if there's ever an event that they can't do, or if they become sick or something like that, you'd welcome yourself as a substitute for somebody, and that's always great to know about. So I would encourage you to offer yourself to speak on panels and be a professional speaker if that's something that's comfortable for you. If it's something that you're not comfortable with and you'd like to learn more about, I highly recommend Toastmasters groups, which are all over the country and help train people in professional speaking. So promote your expertise online and in person, and that's a great way to set yourself up for success now and as your career builds and grows. Tip number 7, mock interview. This is a hardcore tip for actual job hunting and job seeking. I want to just talk about some ways that I recommend that you prepare for job interviews, because that's really where everything happens, where the rubber meets the road in the job search and career process. And again, this happens with funders, with graduate school admissions, and with jobs. So it really, all of us find ourselves in this situation at least once in a while. So number one, know that preparation is absolutely everything. I firmly believe that you can prepare for almost any question that you'll be asked in any kind of job interview situation. If you go online and type into Google interview questions, you'll be able to find them online, so you can really prepare and know what's going to be asked. And when it comes to preparation, I would hate for the interview to be the first time that you actually have certain words come out of your mouth. So if somebody is going to ask you your salary requirements, or they're going to ask you why there's a one-year gap on your resume, or what your five-year plan is, or why you got a D in chemistry your sophomore year, whatever it is that you're nervous that somebody is going to ask, or you think they might ask, or you're not sure about, make sure that you practice those answers as often as you can. One place to do this is through your university. Something that many people don't know is that career services offices at 90-something percent of universities are happy to have alumni come back and use their services. So even if you've already graduated, it's a great place to get free help is by going back to your college or university. If that's not an option for you or you're not interested, ask a friend who's, you know, very savvy and gets the professional world to sit and ask you questions and go over your answers with you. And one of the first questions and most important questions that you want to be sure you can answer is simply introducing yourself. I think answering the question, "So tell me a little bit about yourself," is one of the hardest. And I have a resource here to recommend called 15secondpitch.com. 15secondpitch.com is a whole website that helps you prepare for introducing yourself. And it's a great way to customize that for yourself. When it comes to practicing, one of the best kinds of people to practice in front of would be somebody who actually knows your industry, someone who's gotten a job in that field or knows the particular things that somebody in that kind of industry, organization, or school would be looking for. One of the most common questions I get from people is, you know, what should I say on a job interview for marketing, or what should I have on my resume if I want to go in engineering and work, you know, at a product design company? And my answer is always to interview people, meet people, talk to people, ask advice from people who are actually doing that job. Career advisors are great, and hopefully we can be very helpful, but to find out what's really going to be asked in that interview, you want to make sure that you find out particularly from those people. Vault.com is a great resource for information on particular industries where people dish about what happened on interviews, what's really going on at companies and in industries, and so I encourage you to check out those websites that help you prepare very specifically. If you can videotape yourself, that's going to be very, very helpful. Sometimes it's easier to catch verbal tics, or if you push your head to the side, or if you talk with your hands too much, or if you say when you see yourself on video, even if you just tape yourself in front of your computer or with a little handheld camera, that will give you tremendous information about what's coming across when you go on interviews. So practice, practice, practice. Never, never, never wing it when it comes to something as important as a job interview. Tip number eight, I have two tips on networking here. Networking tip part one, I call be the initiator. I know it's hard work, but I think what it comes down to in networking is that somebody has to make the first move, and if you want things to happen, you need to make the first move. You need to do the work, particularly if you're involved in a job hunt. And the great part of this is that I firmly believe that what goes around comes around. If you put positive energy out there, if you call people, if you're the one linking to people on LinkedIn and Facebook, and you're the one inviting people to conferences, that will always come back to you. So make that first move as much as you possibly can. So some ways to do this specifically, like I said, reach out online. On many of these websites, you can upload your whole address book. Don't be shy about reaching out to somebody you haven't talked to in a few months or even a few years. It used to be really hard and awkward. You'd have to call somebody and remind them who you were. But if you can do that online, it makes it a whole lot easier, and most people are very happy to be contacted. And if they're not, they just ignore the request. You don't have the embarrassment of somebody being really weird to you on the phone. Next tip on being the initiator, when you decide to get out there and attend an event, set a goal. Set a goal before you get to the event of what you want to get out of that opportunity. Too many people, I think, go to an event, they spend money, they spend their time, they show up, and they just hope something good happens. You need to be proactive. about having great things happen on this webinar. Be the person who asks a question. Be the person who follows up afterwards with somebody you met or spoke to who was interesting. Be the initiator in every situation. So setting a goal, what are some goals that you could have before an event or webinar or teleclass? You can ask a question that's been on your mind. I'm sure many of you came on this call for a particular question or reason. Ask that question. Don't walk away without getting what you wanted. Another goal might be getting a particular contact that you've been looking for. Commit to asking everybody for that one lead that you need who can be helpful for you. Or maybe you're looking for a key fact or a key piece of information that will help you move forward in your business or in your career, and you just talk to people about finding that one resource or that one piece of information. So I really encourage you to go in with a positive agenda in mind, and lots of other great stuff is going to happen because you've made the effort to be somewhere, but really set goals about what you want to get out of an opportunity. Finally, and this is related again to events, create an event within an event. And this is a tip I got from a networking book that I really like called Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. Some of you may be familiar with it. And his suggestion is when you make the effort to go to an event, meet up with people there and invite them to maybe all sit together at lunch, or find the few people that you really want to connect with and ask them to go out for a coffee after the event. Or beforehand, invite three or four people who you really want to talk to and you haven't had a chance to really connect with, and invite them to all go to the event together and sit together or eat lunch together. But within a larger context, create opportunities with more people you want to meet, because we've talked a lot about online networking, but that face-to-face interaction is so valuable, and events are a terrific, terrific way to make that happen. Number 9, networking part 2, persist politely. I think one of the hardest things about networking and job hunting is knowing when and how to follow up. It can be really challenging. You make all these new connections, you meet all these new people, and then you're not sure exactly what to do afterwards. And the reality is everything happens in the afterwards, because very few people are going to offer you a job on the spot, so you really have to maintain these connections. And you have to maintain them in a mutually beneficial way. My biggest pet peeve is when people want to network and all they want to do is say, can you help me with this? Can you send my resume to this person? Can you do something for me? I want networking to always be mutually beneficial, and that's the way you should always be thinking. So how are some ways you can follow up in a polite, mutually beneficial way? The first one is asking about follow-up. In the moment, when you meet somebody that you think or you know that you're going to want to keep in touch with, simply ask the question. I really enjoyed meeting you. I would love to follow up and ask you some questions and get together, network further, whatever it is. When's a good time to follow up with you? Would you prefer that I email you or call you? Could we set a date right now to follow up with each other? Setting up that next step is something that we often do in a business meeting, but we rarely do in a networking situation. So make it easier for yourself by finding out from somebody exactly how they want to be contacted and when it would be appropriate to get back in touch with them. And if there's something that you can do for them in the meantime, absolutely ask, so that when you follow up, you have something positive to talk about. You've already done them a favor, and they're very, very happy to help you in any way. So simply ask people, when can I follow up, and what's the best way to get in touch? Secondly, use your online networks. I talked about the great tool that we have now through LinkedIn, through Facebook, through email. You don't have to have that awkwardness of a phone call. So a very light email that says, really enjoyed meeting you a couple of weeks ago, would love to follow up, or really enjoyed our job interview. I know you've been really busy, but if there's anything else I can tell you or any information I can share, don't hesitate to ask. It's a nice way to politely just ping somebody. That's another Keith Ferrazzi term. Just ping them and remind them that you're out there. It's not intrusive. You're not calling. You're just sending a very polite, very brief email, and I would really encourage you in the subject line to remind that person how you met or what you're following up on, whether it's a week later or a year later. Remind them how you met, send a nice email, and then wait for the response to come to you. Say thank you early and often. One of my guiding principles is that I believe nobody will ever be offended or annoyed if you want to thank them. So be the person who sends really nice thank you messages. Thank people for giving you a connection. Thank them for running an event. Thank them for giving you a nice piece of advice. A friend of mine, I gave her some advice, and she just sent me a little gift certificate, just a little $5 Starbucks card to say thank you. And I think being a good thank you note sender and a good gift giver is a really nice reputation to have in this world. Forte does something really nice where they give Starbucks cards after a lot of their events, and it's just such a lovely gesture. People who have really pretty thank you note cards, or if you went to a particular college and you're thanking somebody who's an alum of that college, send them a thank you note on the stationery from your school. Anything that makes somebody feel good or feel appreciated is always going to be a positive networking tool. So I would say to be very, very generous in your thank yous. That's really something that will benefit you all throughout your career, and it makes people feel appreciated for any help that they do provide you. So if there's nothing that you can do to help another person, let's say you're a student and they're a CEO and there's not much you can do to help their career, sending a thank you note is really giving them a gift, in my opinion. And finally, move on when necessary. This is a little bit tricky. It's hard to know when to be persistent and when you're being a little too pushy. So my rule of thumb is 2 or 3 follow-ups without a response. I think you're getting a message that the person really isn't interested, or they're way too busy, or maybe you have the wrong email address. But I think knowing when to let go is really important, because if you become a little too concerned with one person getting back to you all the time, then you're not creating room for other people to fill in that space and the people who you are going to have a positive relationship with to move in. So the test I would use is what I call the comfort test. If you feel yourself following up too many times or leaving lots of voicemails or sending lots of emails, think about how you would feel on the opposite end of that situation, or ask a couple of people you trust, do you think I've been doing this too much? Trust your instincts, but also ask some people who you really believe in and rely on for their advice whether it's really time to move on or if you're being a little bit shy and some persistence is needed. When it comes to persisting, when it comes to keeping in touch with people, be the initiator, but also know when to let go. And finally, we have one more tip here before we move on to questions. This is a favorite of mine to end with, and I think it's true in every situation. I love the television show Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO, and my final message in every career situation is don't curb your enthusiasm. Passion counts for so much in this world, whether it's entrepreneurship, starting a freelance business, getting a job, working in a small business, anything and everything. Being excited about what you're doing and passionate about your career is always going to work in your favor. So I really encourage you to smile, show your excitement, and participate as much as you can, because again, it all comes back to action. If you keep taking positive steps forward, you will be rewarded and good things will come to you.
Looking to get started in a career in business, or looking for inspiration for staying on track in your career? Find inspiration on Forte's Business 360 blog. Top professionals from a variety of fields share their wisdom and hard-earned secrets. Learn about their impressive career path, industry and educational choices, work-life lessons, and more. Go to fortefoundation.org and click Professionals in the top right-hand corner. Let's get back to Lindsay Pollack for the Q&A.
We did have a question already come in, but I just wanted, before we head to that question, just encourage all of our listeners to take advantage of the chat box on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen to send in questions, and we'll try to roll through those and see what Lindsay has to say about your questions. One very specific question came in back when you were talking about Facebook, and the question was about if someone else has put you up on Facebook without your knowledge, how can you be sure about that? And there was a comment back from another listener that said your newsfeed highlights whoever has tagged you or written about you, but they weren't for sure. Do you know anything about that, Lindsay, particularly?
No, it's a great question, and I have to say off the bat that I'm really concerned about the way Facebook has been handling their privacy issues. I think it's been in the news a lot lately, if anybody's following, and I personally believe, and if I had 5 minutes with Mark Zuckerberg, I would tell him, I think the default should be privacy and not having anything appear without your knowledge, but unfortunately that's not the case. So if you're somebody who's very active on Facebook, I would be very careful to set the strictest privacy guidelines. And then, as the listener mentioned, watch your news feed, see who tags you, immediately untag yourself if there's something that you don't want on there. And, you know, basically just keep an eye on your profile in the same way that you would keep an eye on your apartment or keep an eye on any part of your reputation, and know that that's careful. And if there's some people in your life that you think might not respect that, you know, maybe it's time to block those people from your profile just while you're in the middle of a job search. I'm just thinking about very conservative companies. You know, you might not want to put yourself in situations where photographs might be taken that you don't want, but just be aware and keep your head up. I don't think that a recruiter is going to look at you 10 hours a day and watch every single thing, but at least once a day, just check in and see if anything has gone up that maybe you wouldn't want somebody to see.
Great. Okay, we're waiting on questions to roll in. Oh, here comes one. What are some of the ways to break the common ground when trying to network with people in higher positions than yourself?
Networking up can be really exciting, and I would really encourage students and young professionals to do it. But I would just want to say before I address that question, it's important to also network with your peers and people just one or two steps ahead of you, because they're just as valuable. So some ways to break through and talk to people is to have something in common with them and to reach out to the people where you have some connection. So for instance, an alum of the college or the graduate school or the high school that you went to, and LinkedIn is a great way to find those people, or the databases at your university. If you join a professional association or organization, they can sometimes set you up with an official mentor, or, and I know this because I worked at an association, if you call the membership coordinator, anybody who works for a particular organization, and ask them for an introduction, rather than reaching out of the blue, ask somebody who works for that organization to make an introduction for you and say that you're an interested person who wants to network with somebody. Again, commenting on blogs, writing through Facebook or LinkedIn directly, and just simply saying that you admire somebody can be very, very helpful. But any way that you can make a personal connection, simply by showing up at an event where somebody is speaking who you'd like to connect with, and going up to them beforehand, not after when they get mobbed, but beforehand, and saying, I really admire you, I'm wondering if I could maybe call you for 15 minutes to chat, show that you respect their time, show that you've done your research and you know who they are. All of those are some tips on networking up. Personal relationships, introductions by people that they know or something in common are the best ways to make those connections.
That's great. Thanks, Lindsay. And the questions are rolling in.
So that's terrific.
Moving right along, when a recruiter asks the question, tell me about yourself, what exactly should you talk about?
Ugh, don't you hate that? When a recruiter asks, I know, we all do it. When a recruiter says, tell me about yourself, what they really want to know is, tell me what makes you a good fit for my organization. So it's not what makes you so great or what you love about my company. It's what makes us a good fit for one another. So here's where your research comes in. If you can talk about specific programs, specific cultural values of a company, something you learned about the company that really fits with your skill set, focus on what it is that's a good match. That would be my best advice. And you know they're going to ask that question, so practice it in advance and know what you're going to say in that situation. And keep it short.
Great. As a freshman in college, what are the most important things I can do to prepare for careers in the future?
First of all, you're doing it by being on a call like this as a freshman. I think when I was a freshman, I'm not sure I even knew what a career was. It was definitely not on my radar screen. So I'm hugely impressed that you're on the call. When it comes to starting early, which I think would be the case if you're a freshman, I would say this is a great time to explore. So try lots of internships, join lots of clubs, talk to a lot of people about their careers. You know, you don't need to dive headfirst into something. So consider yourself in the exploratory phase. I would definitely recommend, from a resume perspective, joining organizations and building your way up to leadership positions. One of the most important things to have on a resume as a college student is the word president or vice president or founder or captain. So any organization, no matter what it is, where you can get involved now and build yourself up to a leadership position, that's going to be really helpful. And network, network, network. Building relationships throughout college, those are some of the most solid relationships you're going to have in your whole life. So really meet people, get out there. And I would add as a caveat, have some fun. You know, college is great. And when I look back on college, I kind of wish I even had more fun because I got a little too serious about the career stuff at the end. So enjoy your time as much as you plan for your career.
Great. We had another question about LinkedIn, and the question is, this is from an undergrad, and she's asking, it sounds really cool, and is it common, though, for undergrads to have a LinkedIn profile, or do most people wait until graduation?
It is not common, which is exactly why you should do it.
Okay.
It's not that common, and you don't need that much to, you know, I'll elaborate. It's not that common, okay. But it's certainly becoming more common. And I think it helps you stand out, so I would love to see you be an early adopter right now. You can link to me. You can link to other students who are on there, and I think it is going to become more and more common, so I would do it now. And certainly nobody would ever think it was a bad thing to be on LinkedIn. I think it will only impress people. Even if you have a very short profile now, that's totally okay, but it's your visibility on there that's going to be really important. And, you know, you immediately will be connected to alumni of your college, and that's a great way to reach out and make connections, even as an undergrad. So I just so strongly encourage it. I don't see any downside.
We had a little bit of a related question about posting your resume on LinkedIn, and if you're looking for another job while still working at your current employer, is there any fear there of getting fired because your resume is posted, and how do you get around that?
On LinkedIn, you don't actually post your resume document. You create a profile that resembles a resume. So what's interesting about LinkedIn is that you can sort of theoretically have your resume up there because you basically put each job, when you served, what your main accomplishments were in that job. So it looks like a resume, but it's not the same as posting a resume. If I'm making sense, it's not like posting your resume on monster.com. So putting your profile up on LinkedIn could just be a way to show your professional background, which has led you to your current position. So there's a ton of passive job hunting going on LinkedIn, even by people who are perfectly happy. Although I would say, and you have to look into this, I'm sure there is a feature on LinkedIn, just like there is on Facebook and Monster, that you can block your profile from people who represent a certain company, like your current company. So I would look into that security feature for sure. But what's cool about LinkedIn is you're posting your resume without saying you're posting your resume. You have to kind of see the site to understand what I'm talking about.
Great. So we're going to go back to an earlier question about the job search and a little bit of conflict between networking and responding to job postings. And if you happen to be talking with people at a company where there's a job that you're interested in, is that somewhat insincere to then say you're doing some networking? And what do you recommend in that case?
I think that when you're networking with somebody who works at a company, I think everyone's smart enough to know that you probably are interested in a job if it becomes available. So a couple of things. Number one, you never want to show desperation. You never want to say, oh, my God, I'm dying to work at your company. Please tell me if there's anything I can do to get in. Please pass along my resume. You know, you want to be kind of cool about it and not act desperate. If you are informational interviewing with somebody, just asking them questions about their company, I personally think it's absolutely fine to say, you know what, I would love to work at your company. There are a couple of job listings I'm actually interested in, but I don't want to put any pressure on you. I would really just like to get some information from you. So I think being honest about it but not putting pressure on somebody is going to be really helpful. And then if they choose to pass on your information to the HR department, that's great, but you're not specifically asking for it. So it's kind of a fine line there, but I think people know that that's why you're talking to them and networking. And if you're mutually beneficial, if you're generous, if you send a thank you note, if you're polite, I don't think that anyone will mind that you actually do want to work for their company. If they're happy there, they'll probably want you to work for their company because they think it's a good place to be.
Great. So the next question is, what is an employer looking to hear when they ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Number one, you want to see yourself at their company, even if you're not sure. even if you're not sure, I would not say, well, I'd like to go to the competition, or I'd like to start my own business, or I just want to work here for 2 years and then freelance. Particularly if you are in your 20s, known as a millennial or Generation Y, are the terms, you want to be careful not to be seen as a job hopper. I believe it's absolutely fine to leave a position if you're miserable, but companies are very wary of young people who are going to work there and then bail. So I would definitely say you see yourself at the company. I think that, again, you want to defy that stereotype that young people want to move up as quickly as possible and they don't want to pay their dues and they don't want to do grunt work. I would definitely avoid talking about advancing quickly or taking your boss's job as soon as possible. I would say that you would like to find a great fit for yourself in the organization, really contribute to the company's success. And there are a couple of, I would probably say there are a couple of different paths. I think I might be interested in this company, but I'm excited to take this job and see where it takes me, where I can have the most impact at this organization. Remember, it's not about you and what you're going to get out of the job. It's what you can contribute to the organization.
Excellent advice. We have a little bit of a two-parter from one of our participants. If you're moving to a new state or city and you want to impress recruiters in that state or city to pick you but not the other people that who already reside in that city, I guess, what advice do you have there? And then also about kind of coming from a small-sized school, are there any tips to help market yourself and make recruiters understand that your school is valuable and you're valuable as well? Or I guess really, how to present that to a recruiter.
Great questions. When it comes to moving to a different city, you want to take it upon yourself to eliminate any fear that company is going to have that you're going to be a pain in the neck about moving. So anything that you can do, giving a cell phone number, never making it a big deal to show up for an interview, not even talking about the fact that you're going to have to travel to get there, not even asking about relocation packages until you actually get a job, the reason that they would not want to hire you is because you're going to be more difficult. So anything you can do to show that you're going to be easier and not difficult at all is very, very important. If you have a friend or a family member who lives in that city, you can put on your resume current address, which is where you live, out of state or out of city, and then local address where you could stay, or you know that if somebody got mail for you, it would be okay. I think that's being smart. I don't think it's dishonest to say that you have a place to be there, you have a connection to that area. If you don't have that, it's fine, but the most important thing is not being difficult, because they absolutely won't give you the position unless you are Bill Gates and they absolutely have to have you, but that certainly is something to work against, and you're very smart to proactively manage that. The second half of the question on coming from a small college, that's a big challenge, and it's your job to tell them as much as they need to know about the small college. I would very actively talk to people from your school and find out what they've been able to say about the school. I think sometimes you are going to have to go the extra mile, and that's why networking is going to come in handy. So if you don't have those school connections, if you go to school where a lot of companies don't recruit, you're going to have to work extra hard to join professional associations, join LinkedIn, reach out to people and say, you might not have heard of my school, but I know a lot about you. I'd love to connect. Be really enthusiastic and really positive, and find a way to use that to your advantage. Never apologize for it. Just explain what your school is, what's special about your school, or why it's great, or why it makes you even better, an even better candidate for the position or the company, because you bring this unique perspective from a different environment. But again, I think you're very smart to proactively manage that and never, ever apologize for it. Make it something to be proud of and something positive rather than something that would hold you back. It's all about spin.
Excellent. So next question, we'll take these last two and just see if we can wrap up the webinar at that point. Oh, and another one just rolled in. So we'll see how quickly it goes. First, in the pharmaceutical sales industry, this participant had heard that applying online is a total waste of time, and the place to be is on the internal recruiter/company's website. How do you access these resources?
Okay, for pharmaceutical sales, I'm really glad you asked that question. A friend of mine just wrote a book. His name is Tom Ruff, R-U-F-F. Tom Ruff Pharmaceuticalsales.com, and he wrote a book called How to Break into Pharmaceutical Sales, and it is this amazing insider's guide to getting a job in the pharmaceutical sales industry, and I personally guarantee that he answers that question. And if he doesn't, go to his blog, tell him I sent you and ask that question. But Tom has really laid out exactly what you need to know to get a job in the pharmaceutical industry. I highly, highly recommend it.
Okay, great. And if you are an experienced professional with an MBA, do you happen to have any advice on answering that same question earlier? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You know, again, I would really bring it back to what can you contribute to the company? What is it about your MBA, your past, your background that's going to serve that company well? I would also, if you're at the MBA level, you probably have a pretty strong network, and Forte can definitely supplement that network. But I would ask people who've worked at that company, what is it that they want to hear? What's the trajectory that they want to see? Because every company is very different. Alyssa, do you have something to add on that, being the MBA expert?
You caught me off guard there.
Oh, sorry.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You know, I think you really have to ask somebody who knows that company and knows what direction they want to head in order to know what the best answer is going to be. But I think it's always got to be about what you're going to contribute.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the question here, I like your stance on that. I mean, really going back to what the company's going to get out of that relationship with you, it's just always, I mean, that's personal interactions and professional interactions, I think. Having the foresight to realize when you're talking about those types of things, you're trying to sell yourself and you're trying to answer questions that they have. So I think connecting with the employer and giving them what they are, you know, letting them know what they want to hear. And I think showing that you understand that there's going to be opportunity for growth within their corporation or their organization. I would also say it's probably not the best time to bring up flexibility and work-life balance and those kind of things, because I think those things are good conversations to have once you've kind of proven yourself within an organization. And that doesn't mean 10 years of proof. It just means you need to get in there 6 months at least and then say, you know what, for me to even do a better job and for me to stick with you for this period of time, I'd love to talk about how we could arrange something flexible. I don't know that that's where this question was necessarily going, but I just, you know, wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Great.
Okay. The next and probably last question here, what are some good topics to bring up when an interview asks you if you have questions for them?
I would definitely, definitely, definitely come prepared with questions, and I think there are two directions that you can go in. And, you know, if you need to write these down and bring them, I think that's fine. One direction is to get a little bit personally acquainted with your interviewer. If you seem to have a little bit of rapport, you can ask them about their background. You know, don't always ask them, how did you get started in the industry? But ask them maybe, you know, what they most like about the company or something that surprised them about the organization or about their job. And then on the other side of it, I think this is where your Google alerts and your research come in, is to ask them about something current that you've read about, whether it's an industry article or a trend or a new product or something new and exciting at the company. You don't want to get too obscure because you don't want to mention something they wouldn't know about, but anything that's been announced in a press release by the company or that's been, you know, in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or somewhere mainstream about the organization or the industry, then you can have a dialogue as two industry insiders, and then you bring yourself to a level of somebody who's already in the business and you're more of an insider. So I would either go a little bit personal in terms of the person's experience at the company, or I would go current with news that you've been reading, which also shows a little bit that you've done your homework.
Great. Okay, we had one last question, so I'm just going to throw it out there because I think it might be a quick one, about accessing internal recruiter company websites for job postings for other industries outside of the pharmaceuticals. Any tips on that?
Boy, I wish I had Tom Ruff for every industry.
Exactly.
You know, recruiting company websites are great, but the reality is if you make a connection through networking at a live recruiter event on a networking website, I would rather you make that first step with a human who then tells you how to find those online resources. I don't love that being your first step, because I think you're throwing yourself in with the masses rather than building a personal connection. So if you have to find those websites, I would go through industry associations. I would look on vault.com, which I mentioned. I would go to your university. They have great access to all of those internal listings and databases. But I would really recommend that you try as hard as you can to make some kind of human connection at a conference, at an association, or an online connection, and then ask a person where the best way is to post and what the best way is to post, and then bring yourself to those insider listings. But they're all out there, and it's just a matter of research and putting in the work.
Thanks to Lindsay for this terrific career advice. You can find her at lindsaypollack.com. I also recommend you look at her first book, Getting from College to Career, Your Essential Guide to Succeeding in the Real World. Thanks to you for listening, and we'll see you next time.